I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go. Let's make money.
It's time for...
Say the Devils.
Please explain.
Nostra Diblis gives out his pick. You bet against it. You make money.
Cash me out one time.
It's that simple.
Hey, Dibs, your pick stinks.
Dibs, what's the lock of the day?
All right, the Vikings are a road 2.5-point favorite over the Los Angeles Rams. Dan Dibley, what do you say?
Well, I got a pick, and I just before I make it, Grandy, I've been hot on Thursday night, right? I mean, you got all the numbers there. I've been cooking with Crisco on Thursday night. I think I might be undefeated. Mr. Thursday night, they call me in
Let's
some sectors.
That's not week true. Week 7 Thursday night, you lost. Week 6 Thursday night, that was the Niners, you won.
Yeah.
Week 5 Thursday night, you lost.
Okay.
Week 4 Thursday night was a draw, a push.
Okay.
Week 3 Thursday night was a loss.
Okay. 1-3-1.
Week 2 Thursday night was a win,
yeah.
And then
yeah.
Week 1 was a loss.
So 2-4.
2-4-1.
Yeah, so you're hot.
Oh, yeah. That's Mr. Thursday night.
Yeah.
Well, I told you Thursday is the best day of the week. That's where we make the most money.
Yeah, it is.
Off of your crappy picks.
Well, then you're going to love this pick because you always taught me, I didn't learn it, but when you see a spread that looks like odd, you lean into
sense.
It.
Yeah.
This one does not make sense.
Nope.
Vikings only favored by 2.5. Home dogs on a Thursday night is usually the play.
He cannot contain his excitement based on where this is going.
I can't even finish.
Go ahead.
Are you done?
No.
This is normally when you actually take a play off.
No, it's really not. I do a lot of rooting when this is happening, and I'm a loud rooter.
Well,
Come on.
Start your faint, Jim.
Make your bet.
I'm taking the Vikings and laying the 2.5.
Wait a minute. You said you were going to lean into it.
Switch, please.
Why did you do that?
When you lean into it, you would take the Rams.
Correct.
I told you the lead-in was you taught me something, but I didn't learn it.
Oh.
Don't you listen?
No,
Don't you get it?
Don't you know by now that I don't listen?
Minnesota should be favored by 6, so I'm only being forced to lay 2.5. Minnesota's a lot better than the Rams, and it's a revenge game for Kevin O'Connell, who comes from the McVay tree. His guys are motivated to bounce back after a loss. I'm taking the Vikings, laying the points. Kagoosh.
I'm so sad I celebrated early.
Yeah, premature celebration.
See, and I'm going to use Grandy, though, as backing. It sounded like you were going to take the Rams. That's what it sounded like was about to happen.
You couldn't tell because you were interrupting me, and he was back there clapping and cheering.
Because it sounded like you were going to take the Rams.
I'm taking the Vikings, laying the points, cuckoo.
I understand that now.
Thank you.
That's why the air just got sucked out of the room.
Well.
Because the room was excited.
After
and
tonight.
You walked in like a party crasher. Yeah. You came in like Eddie Murphy whacking the jukebox.
Yep.
That's it. And then you took the Vikings.
Was that a 48 Hours reference?
I think that's 48 Hours, right?
Okay. Yeah. The Vikings
New
is
Hampton.
And his name is Reggie Hammond.
It's Reggie Hammond.
The Vikings are my fourth most confident pick in the week in my confidence pool. I like it.
Crap.
And I'm laying 3 in my pool, so go ahead and win by 4 or more, Minnesota.
We almost had the perfect confluence of picks because there's a certain former 95.7 The Game host who now makes picks on ESPN who's going the other way, and I wanted you two to be together so I could go against both of you.
We spent 3.5 years together, and I'm just going to say this openly. That was plenty.
I never met him, and that was plenty.
That's even better.
Yeah.
No, it's great. It's great. And if you want to talk about people I made, don't even get me started. Carry that guy for 3.5 years.
I won't.
That's all I'm going to say on that.
Okay.
Anyway, Vikings minus 2.5, cuckoosh.
Well,
the pick is in. Yep.
Grandy, I think you should take the Rams. I really do. No, it makes no sense. It makes no sense.
That Minnesota's not favored by more.
Especially because it was 3 and then it went to 2.5. They only need to win by a field goal?
Seems too easy.
Mark it down. Darnold's throwing 2 picks tonight. I don't know what the hell's going on. Like, this is screaming stay away. Screaming it. Vikings minus 2.5. What is that? What kind of line is that? That does not make sense. The Rams? Well, they do have their receivers. I mean, they do have their receivers.
Kind of. Well, they're going to play.
Cooper Kupp is a full go.
I don't know if they actually have their receivers.
Puka is a partial go. He's a good.
Yep.
Yeah. All right.
Rams 1-1 this year as a home underdog. So there's your trend.
I'm pretty sure I know which one was the one that they won.
I can't remember.
Anyway.
I can't recall.
Yeah. 888-957-9570. Kurt Warner in 10 minutes.
Right.
Let's go to David in San Mateo. Hi, David. Thanks for calling. What are you doing?
Hey, guys. I'm driving the kids around.
Boy, I felt that one. Go ahead, David.
Sorry. Yeah. Hey, so on the Kuminga, I think Dunleavy's concern is if you give Kuminga the contract, he's not the type of guy that's going to play into that contract. You know, he doesn't have that mentality that, you know, when Dunleavy and Kerr played, they played like their, you know, chips on their shoulders and scrappy and all-out effort. And I think the concern is that Kuminga, if you give him the contract, he may not develop into that next level. So the easier answer is to trade him now to get some value out of him, as opposed to taking the risk that you give him this max contract, and it looks pretty bad in a year or two.
Well, all I'll say, David, like it's just – and thanks, David. It's a dicey situation. You know, David makes it sound like it's an easy answer. I like what you've said today. If you trade him right now – what's he make? $7 million?
Yeah, 7 and change.
All right, so that, like, he's got to be part of a much bigger package if you're going to land somebody who's much better or much higher paid. So now you're just tossing Kuminga in like he's a piece. I don't know if you want to do that. You definitely want to wait and get more information. Are you going to develop? Are you going to up your trade value? But the issue there is that the Warriors seem to think that they might be good this year and have a lot of playable people. And so if there are nights, like Steph said last night, where it's not your night, just tuck yourself and your attitude over there on the bench and don't worry about it. Well, that doesn't feel like JK. And so are they like jamming him into the lineup so that he can show them what he can do and up his trade value? And nobody wants that. So the whole thing is riding a very, very tight rope.
Unless you don't want to trade him. Unless you are of the mind, and if Monty Poole is to be taken at his word, and I will take him at his word always because he knows and
sure,
he's experienced and he's connected. If the Warriors are likely to make a trade before the deadline, it doesn't mean that Kuminga has to be in it. And it can...
Well, that's true.
For me, it likely would mean that it would be Wiggins in it because that's a big enough salary that would help you get something back. And I also think that any trade you would make would be a 3-for-1 or maybe a 4-for-2 kind of deal where you go from a 12-man rotation down to the 10 with a better player on top. So if you don't think about trading Kuminga, then this year really is an easy one because you just play him and then you see what the market dictates he should be paid, and then you either match it or you don't.
Well, first off, you are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. Here's what Monty Poole, NBC Sports Bay Area, told us yesterday.
And I also think that they will make a trade on the approach to the trade deadline. This is a team built to make a trade. When you got 13 guys who are able to play at this level, there will come a point in time when you say, okay, I can give up 3 to get one guy that I know can be a secondary star. And I think that's going to happen.
Okay, and I agree with him, and you agree with him. And then you say, for you, it's more likely to be Wiggins. Well, for me, it's more likely to be who Steph Curry and Draymond Green don't want to play with anymore. And right now, I would argue, and again, this is just one game, Andrew has come off these two seasons where he kind of was missing in action, but these two players, they've got muscle memory of Andrew Wiggins being a key piece to a championship. And Jonathan, I think they do look at as somebody who has really improved and could be really good, but do they really trust him? Do they really trust him to be doing the right things on the basketball court when you get to a playoff run? That's what he's trying to earn, that trust over the next 4 or 5 months. And I don't know that he will. And again, in a very small sample, he's off to a poor start on that end.
Tiny sample. I don't even know if it's fair to...
No, it's 20 minutes of basketball.
Right. And normally you talk about 20 games as a good sample, a fourth of the year, before you can really make sweeping statements. And I know he's played 240-whatever games in his career, so we can look at that, and we can see improvement, and we can see that he's not where many people want him to be. I just am fascinated by the idea of a trade for a big boy, and I know it's too early to really think about who that target would be, but just scanning the list of players based on their salary and guys who might be available, a guy like Jimmy Butler, for example, doesn't seem thrilled. That situation is not necessarily a great one. He's making $48 million, 48.8. So you'd need to come up with about $44 million in player in order to get Jimmy Butler. And there's other names on this list, Trey Young, and Zach LaVine always pops up, and he's making 43. And
no thanks.
Exactly. But if you're looking for a player in the $40 million range, you're going to have to part with about $36 million at least to make it work. So that's where, for me, the whole idea of a trade becomes really, really complicated if you want to keep Wiggins.
Totally get it, but I also don't know. I don't know that the player they're going to be want is making XYZ dollars.
True.
Like, you know, is it a younger player? Is it a more established player? I don't know. Let's go Grandpa Daddy and Hayward. GPD, what are you doing?
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, man. I'm trying to get all these girls into the car. My wife, the two kids. It's my daughter's birthday. We're just going to go to Grandma and Grandpa's house and sing her happy birthday and give her a cake and a balloon. And
love it.
We already had a birthday party before.
Okay, okay. So, thank goodness you threw some new sentences on the end. When you started the call and you're like, yeah, I'm just trying to get all these girls into the car, it didn't have the greatest sound to all of our listeners, GPD.
Listen, I want to say about this. You guys are really spot on. And Kuminga, I watched the game, and I'm going to tell you, there was an earlier caller that said, Kuminga, it looks like he's good, he's got skills, but he looks like a high school player who's just balling out of control. And you're right. He doesn't have the basketball IQ. He can develop it, but he should have developed it by now, right? It's been 3 years. If he was hungry, and here's the thing, is he hungry? He's not that hungry because he would have been in the lab studying and he would have had the basketball IQ. We don't see that out of him. Sure, he got hops. He can take it to the rack. He can go to the line. He can do all that. But he doesn't have the basketball IQ. And being under Steph, Draymond, and all that crew, he should be having that IQ, even Steve Kerr. Now, point number one. Point number two, Steve Kerr was in the Olympics. He had all this talent. He had to play 12 people. How many people did he play during the Olympics at one time?
About a 10-man rotation.
Everybody but Jason Tatum.
And Halliburton didn't play at all.
Yeah,
okay.
Him too.
Okay, so stop right there. So he had a look at what it's like to play a bunch of talent at one time. He did it last night. And he says, like, wow, it worked. But what he's going to do, I'm telling you, Kerr, he's a genius, man. People don't give him enough credit. And now that people are saying you don't play the young guys, and he's playing the young guys. So you know what he's doing? He's going to play all the people, and he's going to play it all and see the cream that comes to the top, baby. And then that's when he's going to get his 10-man, 11-man max rotation. Kerr's a G, bro. I love that guy, man. He's a mastermind in basketball. Don't underestimate him. And they're looking good, bro. TJD, man, I love the development that he did. That kid is coming along, that youngster. Man, they got depth. And look, one more thing. Package Kuminga and maybe one other guy. They got so much depth now, they can package Kuminga and somebody else and get a superstar. And then they can make a run at the deadline.
I mean, that's what they're at least, yeah. GPT, thank you. They're at least preparing or readying themselves for that possibility. Let's hear what Steve Kerr did say yesterday about the 12-man rotation and when he decided to do that.
Yesterday, honestly. I didn't, 2 days ago I was thinking, well, maybe I'll just play 10 and I'll just have to tell two of these guys that they're going to sit. And I couldn't justify that because they've all played really well in camp. And I even felt bad sitting Lindy. He's, Lindy's had a great camp. He's one of our highest plus minus guys in camp for all the preseason games. So this is as deep a team as I've ever coached. And we've got to lean into that. And we're going to play a lot of people.
Okay. I mean, I'll take it at face value to a degree. I don't buy that that's sustainable or the plan going forward, or that Steve Kerr really wanted to do one thing, but then his heartstrings made him do something else. He was playing Portland.
Thank you.
He knew damn well he was going to win that basketball game no matter who he played. And then they can start to feel it out, see if any injuries happen, what have you. They've already announced three players as questionable for tomorrow night. And two of their names are Steph and Draymond. They're questionable.
Questionable.
So is Melton. They're all questionable. They're all sore coming out of last night. And don't be surprised. Do not be surprised if one or two of those guys is not playing tomorrow night.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be surprised if Steph and Draymond both sat, but yeah. You look at Utah's win total, the preseason over-under is 27.5. So you start out with the Blazers, which is 21.5, cupcake, and then you move on to soft serve ice cream in Utah. So, yeah, I could see maybe you need some load management in game 2 of 82. Go ahead and rest those guys. What are we doing?
888-957-9570. We'll get back to the call shortly.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.